Hello, and welcome to Freshwater. You're listening to a message from our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
All right. Today we're starting a series called Genuine, and one of the things that we need to realize, I guess, in looking at this series, and we're going to go through the book of Galatians in the series. We're not going to hit every verse, we're going to hit a lot of verses. And one of the things to realize in this is that there are a lot of good impersonations out there. And that was not Morgan Freeman, although that was an excellent impersonation, right? It was just a superb job, and he's got a million other voices too as well. But anyway, just a fantastic job. He did, you know, really close, really good, but it wasn't him. And today we're going to be looking at that closer. Now, interestingly, this is a few weeks ago. Michelle was at the grocery store, and she saw something. She just had to take a picture of it. She brought here this unreal sour cream. Say, it's not sour cream. It's a substitute, and they made it look so good because it's unreal. Yeah, it is unreal, isn't it? It's not the real thing. And you know, we're surrounded by imitations, and you know what? We're surrounded by spiritual imitations as well. That's important for us, and that is really the essence of the book of Galatians. So we're in this series, Genuine. Next week, we're going to look at genuine justification. And I know that's a big word. We'll talk about that, what that means. In March, we're going to be doing a series called Empty Cross for our Easter series. And so that's coming up. But today, we're going to focus in on genuine Jesus. Who is the genuine Jesus? And we're going to be starting right in chapter 1. Again, we're not going to hit every verse for this book, but we're going to kind of take it in order and hit some highlights and so forth. And I'm going to be starting at chapter 1 of Galatians, starting at verse 6, and we're going to go through 10 today. And it says, Paul speaking to the church at Galatia, he says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anyone preaches to you a gospel other than that which you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. I am now trying to win the approval of men or God, or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Okay, there's a whole lot in there, and there's a whole lot of background. We're going to begin really at the end, verse 10, looking at spotting the genuine. One of the things that Paul was criticized for, people came back into the region of Galatia and started talking to the churches that Paul started. And one of the criticisms that was brought, this people that were bringing confusion and perverting the gospel, One of the confusions they brought is they said, that Paul character, let me tell you about him. He's got a couple big problems. One, he's a people pleaser. And two, this gospel is not right. And now Paul makes this point. I want to just separate just a little something here. He says, other than one you've already received. Now that is not saying what you first accepted is the right one. Right? Because I don't know about you, but I accepted a whole bunch of stuff that was wrong first, right? He's saying that one's the right one. If you accept something different, that's not the right one. And we'll unpack this in a minute. So very first, he says, spotting the genuine. Verse 10, and he's saying, am I now trying to win the approval of men? Me? If I was still trying to win the approval of men, I wouldn't be preaching Christ. That's for sure. Well, this begins our series in Galatians, this this looking at how to spot the genuine, and that's in verse 10. How do we spot the genuine? Martin Luther, and I told you kind of my teaser for this series is that the book of Galatians is the most historically impactful book of the Bible. Well, the gospel, of course, is personally impactful, and it's impactful on a whole lot of persons. But the one that steered the course of history the most is Galatians. Martin Luther was a professor of theology at the University of Wittenberg, no stranger to the Bible, but he was trapped up into the Dark Ages, really, and he began translating the book of Galatians from its original Greek into his native language, German. And as he went through this book, he realized that he was believing a different gospel, an imitation, not the genuine thing. And he accepted the real Jesus, the genuine Jesus, and it changed his life. But it also changed the course of history. And he and others who also came to similar conclusions started the Reformation. And every Protestant church finds its birth in that. So everybody sitting in a Protestant church around the world owes that to the crux of Galatians. Galatians steered the course of history to look at what is genuine. From that, they started, these Protestant churches all accepted what's called the five solas. It's a Latin word. First one is sola scriptura. All Protestant churches say sola scriptura, by scripture alone. Sola means alone. Scripture, sola scriptura, scripture alone. Meaning we don't look at church tradition. You know, we hope to have nice traditions. You know, I like Chili Fest coming up. That's in the bulletin. That's a good one, right? But we don't look to church tradition to give us truth. We look to the scripture alone to give us truth. So that's the first one. Another one is sola gratia, by grace alone we are saved. And sola fide, by faith alone we come to salvation. Both of those saying it's not by works, but it's by God's grace and our trust in Him. And then sola Christu, which is by Christ alone, which means we don't pray to other saints, we don't pray to Mary. Jesus alone is our mediator. And then the final one is sola gloria Deo, which means to the glory of God alone. And all that we do and this salvation is to glorify God. All of that, the whole Protestant Reformation, the solas, the things we base the Protestant movement on, all find its crux in Galatians at finding the real, the genuine. This is it. So, the first thing that we deal with in this book is proper pleasing. Proper pleasing helps us to spot the genuine. Paul was accused of being a people pleaser. You know that Paul guy. He's saying that we don't need to follow all the rituals of Judaism. We don't need to follow the sacrifices and all the special days and the rituals and the dietary laws and the ceremonial washing that they had to do several times a day. All of that doesn't bring us to salvation, but Jesus does. And you know, in a sense, that sounds a little people-pleasing, right? It's a whole lot easier. And if there's one thing people like, it's easy, right? And so from a sense, you can see how they could come up with that criticism and say, oh, they're just making it easy on you. He's being a people-pleaser. But Paul brings up an interesting point. He's saying, you know what, if I wanted to be a people-pleaser, I wouldn't be preaching Christ. And that's very important, noting his history. See, Paul was a rising star in Judaism. He was already not a member of the Sanhedrin because he wasn't yet 30 when he came to Christ, but he was a rising star and everyone expected him to be a member of the Sanhedrin as soon as he turned 30, which would be like our equivalent of the Senate. And so he was a rising star. He was brilliant. He was just zealous for his cause. He was into all this stuff. And in fact, many scholars look at him in history and said, you know what? He was on the fast track to be the high priest. He was the star. And you know what? He gave all that behind. He put that all behind him, and he gave it all up to embrace what? Suffering. Suffering. Have rocks thrown at him, and to be traveling from place to place without a place to preach Christ. And he says, you know what? If I wanted to please people, I could stay there. And I would have pleased the right people and been somebody, so to speak. But instead, I left it all behind to preach Christ. That lack of personal gain is a little piece of spotting the genuine. But just to balance that just a touch, and that is just a few years later, after he writes the book of Galatians, he writes a letter to the church at Romans, and he talks about the proper role of pleasing people. Romans 15:2 says, each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. Well, that's an important process there, right? That's an important piece. That's something that, as we look at it, you know, there's, if we're pleasing people to get ourselves ahead, why, there's a problem with that, right? There's not completely genuine, right? But if we're pleasing people to build them up, to bring them to a good place, oh, well, that's good. That's a good thing. And that's really what Paul was doing. That's the right balance. He didn't please these people for personal position, but he did please people. He served people to bring them to the genuine Christ. That is a piece. That's a piece of spotting the genuine. The next part in verse 10 talks about, fair fighting helps us to spot the genuine. And he talks about, you know, what's going on, the criticism he's receiving, and am I, and so forth. And having a fair fight helps us to spot the genuine. The Bible talks about not mocking. And the more I see our culture today, we see a lot of mocking, right? I don't know if you've noticed, but we make fun of things, right? Our culture makes fun of things. And the Bible says, and this is right, Psalm 1:1, the first book of Psalms, the first verse of Psalms, says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Wow. That's an amazing little, just that verse there. Now look at the company: wicked, sinners, mockers. You know, it's just a joke. But mocking changes the argument. See, when we mock, we just shut down all information exchange, right? It's just done. There's no learning, there's no teaching, there's no understanding. It just shuts it all down. And so one of the things in looking at spotting the genuine is don't mock. The other part is don't jump to conclusions. The Galatians were led to jump to a conclusion. There are people who brought confusion. They jumped to a conclusion. They jumped to the conclusion of motivation. Do you know the hardest thing to prove is someone's motivation? God knows our motivation. But that's one of the hardest things to prove. And it's one of the easiest conclusions to jump to. Oh, well, they just want the, you know, it's just easy to jump to that conclusion. And that's what they did. People of Galatia jumped to a pretty far-fetched conclusion. Oh, that Paul. They said he's not. He was just taught this by men. This is later on in the book. We'll look at that. He was just a people pleaser. He was, you know, all this. They jumped to pretty far-fetched conclusions. They jumped to a conclusion on his motivation, the hardest thing to actually prove. And, you know, it's a torturous life for those that seem to jump to the conclusion of motivation. Have you met that or struggled with that yourself? Where you go, oh, though they're motivated for this. They really want to take advantage of me here. Oh, they're motivated for that. They really want to take advantage of me in this way. And people that are jumping to the conclusion of motivation all the time live kind of a tortured, scared life. And that's what this book is saying. You know, part of spotting the genuine is a fair fight, is a fair exchange of understanding. We can, when we have a fair understanding exchange, then we can spot truth. So, this book continues. Rather than looking at action and words, Paul risked everything to tell people of the life-changing message of Jesus. And that helps us to spot the genuine. Continuing on, just focusing on the main part of our text, verses 6 through 9 again. Let's focus in. And it says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by grace and are turning to a different gospel, which really is no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we've already said, and now say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than that you accepted, let them be eternally condemned. Now again, that's not the first thing you accept. I accepted a lot of things along the way. It's the genuine thing. If you've accepted the genuine thing, anything else that somebody tries to take you away to, that is really spiritually dangerous. So the second part of this is discerning the genuine Jesus. So yesterday I was doing yard work, and oh, did my yard need work. Man, bushes, and there's still a lot of work to be done, but I did a ton yesterday. I'm still sore. I still feel like my lungs are full of dirt, so I'm coughing a little bit. Not sick, just dirt. So I'm out there working, and I saw something, and I got excited, and I grabbed it, and I cupped my hands, and I walked in the house, and my boys were sitting around the kitchen table. Which, by the way, is getting me thinking, why am I working out in the yard and boys are sitting around the table? We're going to have to work on that a little bit. Something's gotten askew here. But I walked into the table and I had my hands cupped and I said, now we get to see who's the bravest Gibbon boy. And I put my hands in the center of the table. One boy backed up a couple of steps and says, uh-oh. And the other boys leaned in and they're looking at the cupped hand. And I said, ready? One, two, three, go. And Elijah was the quickest. He dived in. He grabbed it. Bravest boy. And what it was, see, 2 years ago, we had an Easter egg hunt in our backyard. And it was an Easter egg I had found out there while I'm working in there. And so there's this Easter egg, 2 years old, in our backyard. And he grabbed it. And I said, all right, let's see what's inside. And he opened it up. You know, it gets hot in Arizona during the summer. And 2 years of it, and so it was just kind of a level with a little bit of bumps from melted jelly beans and chocolate eggs and so forth, just kind of a slurry. You know, it looked like it had been, you know, you could see the level where it had just kind of melted level and so forth. And they looked at that and they were like, yeah, no. And actually Mom was in there and she was, no. And rats. But, you know, there's the 5-second rule with, you know, things like crackers and pizza and such. But, you know, this is like a 2-year rule for candy. I don't know. I find that in the boys' room. Anyway, they didn't eat it. How do you discern what is good? You know, what is the 5-second rule of what about the gospel? How do we discern what is good? It works, you know, we do this every day if we're finding old Easter candy or a job opportunity or whatever we're facing. We discern, we decide, is this good or not? How do we decide what is good, especially as it relates to the gospel, the genuine Jesus? What do we do? Well, the Galatians had been swayed. They had been swayed to a different gospel. Their different gospel was, in essence, you had to work your way to Jesus by doing all the old rituals. You had to work your way to Jesus. They had been swayed. And Paul says, okay, you had accepted the genuine gospel. I'm sure they had accepted other things before, like most people. But he says, one, don't let big names sway you. Big names do not determine truth. Even Paul himself, he says, even if I preach you a different gospel, don't accept it. A big name does not determine truth. Today, we're very much a fame culture. And if star so-and-so says something, people clamor around that quote. Sometimes they're good quotes. Sometimes they're interesting quotes. Sometimes they're telling quotes. But you know what? Big names do not determine truth. Next, he goes on and he says, you know, in essence, he's saying a mystical experience does not determine truth. If an angel himself comes down from heaven and preaches you a different gospel, don't believe it. Wow. Wow. A mystical experience does not determine truth. The Scripture and the Holy Spirit determines truth. Scripture and the Holy Spirit determines truth. Dirt. It's dirt. Excuse me. Today there are a lot of different Jesuses. There's a lot of different imitations of Jesus out there. You know, God created us in His image, and we are really quick to return the favor and recreate Him in our image. We want Him to be a certain way and a different kind of Jesus. I put up a couple Jesuses here. First one that I call the Rainbows and Unicorns Jesus. I'm sorry, but maybe that's mocking. I said not to do that before. But okay, so ultra-idealistic and super sparkly. You know, this is the Jesus that is kind of twisting something around. The Bible says that God is love, but love is not God. That's a very important distinction. We don't serve and worship love. We serve God who is love. And there are, by the way, Jesus has other qualities too. And in fact, this one just to kind of to mess with your head a little while. Jesus was with his disciples, and his disciples came to him and said, what does that parable mean? And he turned to his disciples and said, Matthew 15:16, are you still so dull? He said, are you still dumb? Are you still stupid? But he kind of chides them for not getting things. You know, we've been talking all these years and you still don't get it? He said, and the quote is, are you still so dull? So getting to the genuine Jesus is not all rainbows and unicorns kind of thing. We learn from Scripture the true Jesus. Another one is the peacenik Jesus. And the peacenik Jesus is somebody who doesn't, says no conflict ever. We don't want to have any conflict. And you know, I'm not a fan of conflict. I'm not searching for a debate or a fight or so forth. But I've learned something. In 324 AD, Constantine, who was the Roman emperor, did not do a lot of things his critics say he did. But one of the things he did do is he said, all right, all you pastors and preachers and priests and so forth, you have to agree. He didn't like conflict. You have to come to agreement. The council was Council of Nicaea. And they wrote these big, huge documents of things they decided to agree on. A very small minority said, no, I don't agree. And Constantine said, all right, exiled. He exiled them from the Roman Empire for disagreeing with the church. And that started the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages began right there. Because when we don't have opportunity to sharp iron sharpens iron, to exchange understandings, to disagree, we don't sharpen each other. And the church became, and culture became, a really not good place. A lot of superstition came in, a lot of crazy thinking came in, because people weren't allowed to disagree. Another one is the activist Jesus. You know, we care a whole lot about politics today, and a lot of times we get really charged, you know, and I think the news wants us to be very charged on politics, is my personal opinion. But we get really charged in politics, and on one hand, it's a mistake to say that Jesus didn't care about politics. The three big issues, the big debates of his day, he weighed in on all of them, on divorce, on taxes, and whether Jews have the right to carry out capital punishment. He weighed in on all of those. And I think he cares about the political debates that we have today. I think he cares. But you know what he cares a million times more? Your soul. Jesus cares for your soul more than all of that combined times a million. He cares about your soul. Another one is judgmental Jesus. The Jesus who is always searching for your slightest mess up to give you a scolding, finger wagging, and a flat tire. Right? Judgmental Jesus. That's a cultural Jesus. It's not the scriptural Jesus. And for the Galatians, it was the work for it, Jesus. That if we do all the rituals and all the ceremonies and all the dues and the 613 commandments and so forth, if we do all of that, why then we've earned the right to come to Jesus. That, there's a better perspective than that. So, finally, we're looking at a holy agreement, Scripture and Spirit. Our family was at a family reunion, and I was overhearing one of my boys and a cousin talking. This was several years ago. And my boy was talking to a cousin, and I was engaged in something else, but I was kind of listening in a little bit about that. And the cousin said proudly, with you know, look what I've done. He said, I have been to church 6 times. How many times have you been to church? My boy said, about a million. No, really. I think it was about a million. A million times to church. You know, Gibbons are always in church. And there's some things that are kind of always. There's a always. I think that's healthy, by the way. But there's some things always. And one of the things, even though I say it, I want to step back and say, you know what? Scripture and the Spirit are always in agreement. Scripture and Spirit are always in agreement. If you're praying and you feel led to do something that's counter Scripture, there's something wrong, right? Because Scripture and the Spirit are always in agreement. The message of Galatians is the Spirit, through Christ, changes us from the inside out. We do not work to get to Christ, but we do good works because Christ got to us. That's a big difference. We receive the free gift of Jesus, invite Him to take the throne of our hearts, and suddenly everything changes. Suddenly we're filled with His perspective, and we want to make an impact for Him. The message of Galatians is also Scripture leads people to a life-changing Christ. That's an important concept. John 5, 39 and 40, Jesus says to the Pharisees, He says, you diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you will possess eternal life. These Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me. So in that, we're seeing a progression that's right. And if we mess it around, there's some real problems. One is, Scripture tells us about Jesus. We accept Jesus, we have a life change. We have a life change, we want to make an impact. That is the progression of the gospel, the genuine gospel, what Jesus wants for us. But what the Galatians had been confused with is, if I work to Jesus, then I'll be worthy of salvation. And that is a big problem. That's not a genuine gospel. I was telling my students at Grand Canyon University this week, I said, you know, stepping back, we're doing a New Testament course, and stepping back, the New Testament does 4 things for us. I said, one, it gives us a truth grid. What is true, what is false. That's one of the things it does. It's very valuable. 2, it gives us wisdom for living. Healthy relationships, families, work, finances. It gives us wisdom for living. That's important. 3, it gives us a deep relationship with the Lord. And I said, you know, 4, you know, if we did all 3 of those, I don't know how much of a difference really it would make a difference for us, but beyond that, what? So what? 4th one is that it calls us to mission, calls us to make an impact. all of that begins with the life-changing, from inside out, relationship with Jesus Christ. Something real. Jesus. So, how can we do this? How can we discover the genuine Jesus again? First one is WDJD. Now, you've heard about WWJD. You've heard about that. What would Jesus do? You're in a situation. What would Jesus do? And one of the problems with what would Jesus do, WWJD, is that it really leans on our perspective, which can be a cultural Christ rather than a genuine Christ. WDJD, what did Jesus do, helps us to see who Jesus really is. And so I want to encourage you this week to read the red. In many Bibles, the words of Christ are in red. Read the red. Read the red text. What did Jesus do? Second, invite a changed understanding. I've been reflecting this week on when I first became a Christian. I became a Christian on campus. Some students led me to the Lord. It's a long story. We'll talk about it sometime. I had no Bible on campus, and I went home for a weekend, and I did family stuff, and on my way out, I grabbed an old Bible so I could have a Bible for this newfound faith. And I got home, and that night, I unpacked, and I got the Bible up. And it was the first time looking at the Bible as a believer, and I hadn't looked at it much before that. And I did something that, I was a dumb teenager and barely a Christian, but when I think about it, I think, that was pretty profound. What I did is I took my Bible and I sat down and kind of quieted myself and I looked at it. And I said a prayer. And again, it was just a dumb teenager. I was 19 years old. I just became a Christian 5 minutes ago kind of thing. I just said, Lord, may everything I believe be false and everything in this book be true. That changed everything for me, because I went through the Bible and I started at the beginning where you start a book and I start reading Genesis and so forth. As I'm reading, I started writing down false beliefs. And I started writing a list. And I had more pages of false beliefs than I had read of pages of the Bible. And I finally just set aside the list. I'm going to take the time. This is true. And it really changed me dramatically. Invite a changed understanding. Be open to that. Let Scripture change you. Third, pray, come into my heart and change my life. That's just the best prayer in the world, I think. Jesus, come into my heart, change my life. And then look at the world differently. Look at the world through the genuine Jesus' eyes. Well, we're in this series about, genuine. First day, genuine Jesus. And there are a lot of impersonations around us. There's a lot of cultural Jesuses. There's a lot of cultural truth, so to speak. There's a lot of impressions, impersonations that aren't true. They're not genuine. They can lead sometimes to very dangerous places. Maybe today is the day to renew your commitment to a relationship with the genuine Jesus. To get to know the genuine Jesus again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this time in your word and this book that has made such an impact on history. And we pray, Lord, that this book would continue to make an impact in our lives. Lord, today again, we come to you. Jesus, come into my heart and change my life. Help me to discover you again, the genuine Jesus. And lead me on a path of impact. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.